Wisconsin Eye is at Old Main Hall. Old Main was built in 1894 on the campus of UW-Stevens Point. Excuse me, we're interviewing Chancellor Bernie Patterson. Chancellor, thanks for taking the time.
Steve, welcome to campus.
Now, if you wanted to give us a five-minute recital on that organ as a way to introduce us, do you want to do that, or shall we just go straight to the questions?
Well, I would, but we would then get so entangled in the music, we would never get to the interview, so let's just start with the interview.
Okay, I appreciate that. How is the mission of UWSP different from the other 25 campuses, Chancellor?
Well, in some ways, we're all very similar because, and we could look on our webpage and you could see the language you used to describe the mission of the university, but I sum it up in two words, student success. And I think that's what our other colleagues across the state are involved in as well, student success. But there are some things that make us quite unique here at Point. For example, a nonprofit organization, a data nonprofit organization in California publishes the 100 top best value colleges in the country. And they're looking at how the institutions prepare students for life after graduation, particularly in their employability and in their earnings, future earnings. And in this national ranking against all 1,200 other colleges and universities, 1,100 and some odd actually, UW-Stevens Point is ranked third.
Congratulations.
That's amazing. That's amazing. We also just saw data from the UW System Office that tells us that UW-Stevens Point produces more graduates with degrees in STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and health, than any other comprehensive university in the UW system. And now, when you layer that on top of the new science building that's being constructed on our campus at $75 million, we're going to have a phenomenal science program here. Performing arts are off the charts. If you want to see music theater, you'd have to go to Chicago to see anything better than what we're going to be doing right here. And at times, we rival Chicago as well.
Well, thank you for fixing my stereotypes, because I had assumed that UW-Stevens Point was a forestry institution, given that how closely it works with the state's logging industry.
And, well, thank you very much, Steve. We do have the largest College of Natural Resources, undergraduate College of Natural Resources in the country. And its reputation is so strong nationally that just this past year, two gentlemen gave a gift of $2 million. They have never been to this campus, didn't go to school here. They did that solely on the reputation of our College of Natural Resources. That's pretty phenomenal.
But the logging industry has been kind of depressed in northern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. What, if any, influence has that had on your campus, sir?
Not a lot. For one thing, our College of Natural Resources is so much more than forestry. It's soils, it's fisheries, it's all of our natural resources. It's much broader. There's 1,500 majors in the College of Natural Resources. We still have a paper science program that you're referring to, and we still place 100% of our students in very high-paying jobs that come out of that program.
What is the biggest major that this university awards?
The most popular, well, there's biology, for example. There's all the majors over in the College of Natural Resources. Business school is very popular. So we have several very big majors.
I'm finding some interesting stats when I ask about the makeup. The average undergraduate student here, male, female, from Wisconsin, what percentage from out of state? Give us a demographic profile of your undergrads.
Well, we have about 54% female. We have about 13% who come to us from outside of Wisconsin. That would be elsewhere in the U.S. and international as well. We have about 46% of our students are the first in their families to go to college. And so that presents a unique student body. I understand what that means because my sister and I were the first in our family to graduate from high school. So these students come with particular experiences in life, and we need to make sure we have the right academic advisors, the right career advisors, the right mental health advisors, the right support system for these students to succeed. My parents, who of course never set foot on the college campus as far as I know it was important for me to go to college, but they didn't know how to go about that. They just knew I had to do it somehow, some way. So we need to provide that infrastructure. So when we have a reduction in our workforce, we're reducing those services to those students that desperately need it.
And the average undergrad would get, she or he would get their degree in how long here at, on this campus?
Well, of course, it depends on the student.
Certainly.
We have, over the last several years, set a course to get more students to graduate in a more timely fashion. Now, that will depend on the major sometimes, and whether they change majors or transfer, and all those have factors to bear on it. But in the last 6 years, we have increased our graduation rate by 8 to 9 points. That's a huge increase, particularly for a public comprehensive
Within four years, I assume?
I'm sorry?
Within 4 years? The number graduating within four years.
I just want to put it in perspective.
Yes,
the number of students graduating, the percent of students graduating within 4 years has increased from 8 to 9 points higher than it was just 6 years ago.
Taking it to what percentage approximately, sir?
About 34 to 35%.
34 to 35%.
It was 24%, and so now there's a huge increase. And we've done that by some very specific changes we've made here at the university. One is to change the culture and really start having a conversation with students, prospective students, their families, and the faculty and the staff about let's plan on getting out in 4 years. When I meet with parents, prospective parents particularly, I ask them, I mean, how many of you are on the four-year plan? And every one of them raises their hand. And I said, well, so are we. So let's think about how to make this happen. On the way home today, I tell them, have a conversation with your son and daughter. So when they start school and they're thinking about dropping a class, call home before you drop that class. Have a conversation about it. If it's just because you can't get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, then we need to think about how we can fix that. Some students, though, hang around longer than they should. Last spring, I was walking across campus, stopped to chat with three young ladies standing on the sidewalk, and, you know, where are you guys from? When are you going to graduate? And one said, well, you know, I could graduate in May, but, you know, I've got my apartment. I got some more classes I'd like to take. I love my professors, you know. And I said, oh, wait just a minute. I said, young lady, what is your daddy's phone number? we're changing the mindset. So changing the culture is one of the things we've been working on really hard. The other thing we've done here that is somewhat unique, because universities are quite reluctant to take on the curriculum. But we have, our faculty have, and it's faculty work. They're in charge of the curriculum. But they have revised our general education requirements and have reduced those by 15 to 17 hours, depending on your major. That's a huge reduction. It still takes 120 hours to graduate. Right. But that reduction in general education requirements has made it easier for students to move through the system. We don't have seniors trying to take freshman courses. That's much better, and that's one of the reasons that our graduation rate, or one of the main reasons our graduation rate has gone up like it has. But that's very difficult work, but our faculty were up for the task, and they got it done.
There's so much focus on debt. What's the average graduate debt here?
At Point, the average debt of those who have debt.
Yes.
$30,000. At system, it's about $31,000, and nationally, it's about $35,000.
And what percentage graduate with no debt, if you know that? I'm just curious.
No, I don't know that, okay. but a fair number.
Let's talk about the $250 million cut to the UW system over 2 years in the current biennial budget. Mm-hmm. Impact on this campus, Chancellor?
Significant. But Steve, I want to rephrase your question just a bit. You're right, $250 million this biennium. But don't forget the previous biennium, there was also a cut.
Yes, sir.
For a point, this biennium, we were cut $6.5 million. The previous biennium...
Is that over 2 years? I just want to put it in perspective.
Yeah, that's the two-year budget.
And that amounts to what percentage cut in the operating budget of point?
Well, that's what I was getting to.
Okay, excuse me.
The last biennium, the previous biennium, we were cut $2.5 million. So in 4 years, we were cut $9 million. And that is over 25% of our state support. And I think of it as the rather than just the operating budget, because operating budgets can be defined differently. Do you include debt service or do you not include debt service? But I think a simpler way to think about it is of the support we get from the state, the tax dollars that come to this institution.
General fund.
General funds, GPR funding.
To this campus.
That we're all familiar with. In the last 4 years, we were cut over 25%.
That's higher than many other institutions in the system, isn't it?
Well, yes, and we've noticed that. And in this current biennium, we were cut 17%.
Okay, but go back to the 25%.
Yes.
What is unique about this institution that your cut was bigger than some of the other UW schools?
I don't think anybody had it out for Stephen's Point. But over the last many years, we have been quite successful in bringing home special funding for special programs. It's called segregated funding in the state system. For example, the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology is located on our campus, and it was funded at about $450,000 a year in the state budget. That's cut. That's in addition to the $250 million that everybody talks about. So we had some special programs that got cut when they just went through the budget and redlined anything that had UW on it. And because we had been successful in bringing home these special programs over the last 15 or 20 years, many of those got cut as well. Now, some of them were reinstated with some very hard work with some good friends in the legislature helped bring some of that back. But, for example, the Wisconsin the Institute for Sustainable Technology is going to fold and not exist anymore, which is sad because their main mission...
I was going to ask you, as a result, what services or what help to this region or this state will not occur when that organization folds?
Well, their mission was to help companies, businesses, manufacturers improve their bottom line. And they were doing that through making their practices more sustainable. For example, could they convert their waste stream into a profit revenue stream? And that's what they do. And now that service will not be available to businesses, employers, and manufacturers in the state of Wisconsin.
What majors are no longer offered on this campus that were offered in when you arrived in 2010 as a result of some of this belt tightening?
Well, we have gone through our curriculum very, very carefully. And we have eliminated a half a dozen minors and probably 35 different programs or options. Now, not to mislead anybody, oftentimes there was both a BA and a BS offered in the same major. Take geography, for example. And now we are going to offer just one or the other, not both. So we have streamlined the curriculum to the point of 30 to 35 options within majors, as well as half a dozen different minors that have all been eliminated over the last 3 or 4 years.
How many fewer faculty do you have now than when you arrived in 2010, Chancellor?
Just this biennium, we have reduced our workforce by 76 positions. About a third of those were teaching positions, and about two-thirds were staff. Now, we don't hold positions open in our budget, so there wasn't a number of positions on the shelf, so to speak, that we could take off and apply to the budget reductions. So there were people in these positions, and they left either through retirement or early retirement, or the problem is getting worse, leaving to go to other schools, particularly out of state, a handful of layoffs and non-renewal of contracts and the cancellation of ongoing searches were all the things we did all those things to get to the 76 positions.
You lost an awful lot of experience and some of your talented faculty. When you replace them, are you able to replace them, number one? Number two, when you replace them, are you forced to hire instructors, those that are not on any type of a tenure track, Chancellor?
When you lose key employees, and all of our employees are key here, they all have a really important job. Whether you're in the classroom or not, they are here to help these students succeed. So when somebody leaves that's been here 15 years or 20 years, in the case of Charles Young over in the music department, he'd been here more than 20 years. And he went to, I think, Indiana.
For a significant raise?
Yes. Mike Zock, who was in the chemistry department, left after he was here at least 15 years. And he was an alum from this institution. His family was in central Wisconsin.
Where did he go,
sir? He went to Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And so when people, and it's just not the faculty, too. Our comptroller left. The head of our communications department left. The head of our institutional research department left. The head of our IT department left. I mean, the list just goes on. And these people take with them their expertise, their institutional knowledge, and many, many, many years of experience. And so when we hire to replace them, sometimes the searches don't even succeed. Sometimes the searches fail. Or we hire people with a lot less experience who are just beginning their career, which, you know, everybody has to start somewhere, and that's fine. But when you have a flood of this going on, it really reduces the horsepower you have to run the institution.
And I've seen the numbers. What percentage of faculty on this campus could be eligible to retire in the next 5 years? You're going to lose potentially another wave, aren't you?
Yes, as they say in the academy, the graying of the academy. And so there's going to be more retirements. Our vice chancellor for business affairs, our chief business officer, is retiring. He's been here 30 years. Before that, he worked 20 years in Minnesota, so 50 years in higher education. But Greg certainly has earned his retirement, and he'll be leaving us, and we'll be now looking for a new chief business officer. That's just another example, and this is going to continue.
When you and department heads try to replace these, what do you tell potential people about why should they come to Point in light of some of these financial cuts in the past few years?
A couple of things. I always want to meet with the new faculty and staff when they come and during their orientation, and I usually have one word of caution for them. That if your plan is to come here and kind of get your feet on the ground, and if you're teaching, get your syllabi squared away and get your classes organized, if that's your plan and you're thinking, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I'm going to go on and do something newer, bigger, whatever. I said, just know that I can point to dozens and dozens of individuals that came here with that exact same plan 20, 25, and 30 years ago.
And they're still here.
And they're still here.
Right.
It gets in your blood. You get to know the students. You get to interact with the students on a daily basis. These are great kids here. I shouldn't call them kids, but when you get to be in this business as long as I have, I do.
Kids. I understand.
But they are phenomenal. Some of them work three jobs because they want to go to school so badly. And to be able to see them grow and mature and graduate and be successful is so fulfilling. I mean, it is hard to articulate if you haven't been involved in that before. And our faculty and our staff are so dedicated here, and they get involved so deeply with our students in their success that it is hard to leave. Do some of them do? Yes. And it's becoming more prevalent now with the wage situation here. The salaries are not any close to being competitive. And many of them are still here, coming early in the morning and leaving late at night.
Does budget cuts in state aid like this, does it pit you at Point against the Platteville and the Oshkosh and the Stouts and the River Falls? I mean, is it kind of a elbows type, everybody elbowing for the high school seniors?
Well, in terms of student recruitment, you're right. It is very intense. I tell my prospective parents and prospective students when I see them at orientation that you can get a good education anywhere in the UW system. You know, I've been in this business 40 years, and when I was a young faculty member in South Georgia, I knew about and knew of the University of Wisconsin system and even several of the comprehensives. It has had a stellar reputation outside of Wisconsin, and that's that reputation's at stake now. You know, it takes decades to build that kind of reputation, but a very short period of time to tear it down.
Let's talk about the regents just asked for an additional 42.5 over the next biennium for the entire system, plus the UW system won't have to lapse. I think it's $50 million. What good news, if any, is there if that $42.5 million request is approved by the legislature and governor? Is there any good news?
Well, there is some good news. For one, it more than the $42 million, I think more important than the $42 million, is the change in mindset of funding the higher education rather than cutting higher education.
Yep.
So just having the conversation about priorities, which are fine, whether it's roads or transportation or Medicare or K-12 or whatever you want to talk about on the table, and talking about priorities within those, that's what the legislature is hired to do. I mean, that's their job, and we appreciate that, and we're certainly willing to compete in that arena. But that's a different conversation than the I got you, foot on the back of the neck mentality that we've seen sometimes in this state. That changing that that conversation to, okay, we're going to fund it. Maybe it's going to be not very much compared to the $6 billion budget. You know, $42 million is a pretty small amount. But what it signals is so important that it changes the conversation. And we'll welcome whatever portion of that we get here, and we'll use it to help our students succeed.
The general fund, state general aid, pays for, as you said, 16% of the UW system. What's the percentage on this campus, sir?
I'm sorry,
the whole system-wide, mm-hmm. state aid pays for 16% of
yes.
billion.
Yeah.
What's the percentage on this campus?
When the system was formed in 1974, it was 50% here. Now, state appropriations that come to our campus make up 13% of our budget, yes.
As you do long-range planning, Chancellor, are you assuming 13% state aid continues 4 and 5 years out, or are you dialing it up or dialing it down?
Well, we've learned not to anticipate that. It's hard to plan, but it's very hard to predict. But we did do the math on that very question, and if the trend continues, it's been in place since the system was formed, if that trend continues, we'll reach zero funding in 9 years.
Zero state aid funding?
In 9 years, if the trend continues. That's the mathematical formula applied to the data.
What does this campus look like with zero state aid funding, Chancellor, in 9 years?
Well, I certainly hope we don't get there. I hope we never find out for sure what that looks like. And I don't think we will, actually. Because right now, as we just talked about, we're talking about a slight increase of maybe $42 million. And so we've got to keep the conversation going in that direction. This zero in 9 years is strictly a mathematical formula based on the last 40 years that the system's been in place.
I want to talk about some recent issues that have come up on all campuses nationally. The concept of a safe place for some students, do you support that? Safe place, the idea that there should be safe places on campus maybe for minority students where they could go, it's being debated nationally. Has this campus wrestled with that at all?
I think the campus should be safe for everyone.
Okay.
And where everyone is welcome, and where everyone is free to express their ideas and debate those ideas in a civil fashion. Civility is quite important on our campus, and we may disagree. A university is where different ideas should be explored. Even unpopular ideas should be explored. But no one should feel attacked or threatened, regardless of their race or ethnicity or sexual orientation or political orientation, or you know the list. That's the kind of environment we hope to maintain here at Stevens Point.
Another issue that really intrigues me is the issue of cultural warnings to ethnic groups that what we're about to read in this assignment or something could be offensive to some. Have you on this campus had to grapple with that issue?
I haven't.
Okay.
I can't speak for the 500 faculty members out there, but some of that is actually quite common. It's not unusual to put a notice outside the theater that says, this production may contain graphic language or, mm-hmm. or adult themes. That's just letting the public know.
Okay. And recently, the Assembly Republicans put forward what they called their forward agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a reference to the entire UW system. They'd like to see more conservatives and the faculty more conservative guest speakers. How do you react to that as an experienced chancellor?
Well, I'm quite familiar with that challenge. It came from Speaker Voss to each chancellor. Each one of us got a letter.
Yep.
He pointed out a couple of speakers on other campuses, not at Point, that were in the range of $45,000 speaker fees. We haven't had that kind of funding here at Point. We would love to be able to bring speakers of that caliber to Stevens Point for the benefit of our students, but that's just not in our budget. They had asked for a list of all of our speakers and how much they were paid. We submitted a list of 90. Most of them were classroom speakers, but they had gotten some pay, mm-hmm. Typically for travel, and the average amount paid to our speakers was not $45,000, but $316.
$316.
That much.
Far cry from
that. Right. So now, what I do agree with the speaker is that there should be a diversity of opinion, diversity of thought. That's the core of a university. That's what we should be about, is the exploration of a variety of ideas. I think that is enriches the experience on any campus.
Governor Walker said his next budget may include continuing the freeze on resident undergrad tuition. What would be the impact of continuing that for a fifth and maybe a sixth year on this campus, Chancellor?
If the state is looking for a path to mediocrity, that would be it. As we keep driving down our ability to educate our students and to provide the excellence that the state has been so accustomed to. I think of it this way, Steve. Imagine you're in the hospital, you're lying on the gurney, you're looking up at the doctor and the nurses gathered around you, and you're saying, I got this weight on my chest, pain in my left arm. Do you want that doctor to have gone through a school of excellence or one that's just mediocre?
Okay. Your biggest, only got a couple questions, we're almost out of time. Your biggest fear, is it the zero state aid in 9 years scenario, or do you have another thing that wakes you up at night in terms of the long-range future of SP?
What I worry the most about is this university and this system maintaining the quality we've been known for the past 30 years.
Okay.
If that slips away, we'll be decades in recovering.
Okay. Then finally, what's your elevator speech for parents or high school seniors, why they should come here?
Oh, when I came to visit, they told me it was a special place. And I thought, sure, everybody says that. And then I came, and I got to know the faculty and the staff and the students and the community in which we are located. It is a special place.
UW-Stevens Point Chancellor Bernie Patterson, thank you so much for talking to Wisconsin Eye and the hospitality, and I'll not ask you to play a cantata on the organ.
Steve, thank you so much. Thank you for coming to campus.
Thank you very much.